We read from Acts chapter 2 for our scripture reading this morning about the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost came 50 days, 7 weeks or so, after Passover. And it was about 50 days after the crucifixion of Christ. The events that we read about took place in the city of Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified. And the one that was preaching was one of the disciples, one of the apostles, Simon Peter. And as we read, it's part of his sermon, just some of the last part of it, he preached, and the Bible says that 3,000 souls were added unto the church that day. And I was thinking a few weeks ago about who the people were that got saved that day. I mean, did you ever stop and think about, 3,000 people saved in one day on the day of Pentecost? Who were those people? And many of them, I believe, were the ones that had an active part in crucifying Christ. I mean, they were some of the same people that 7 weeks before stood, and when Pilate asked, well, who do you want me to release to you, as was his custom to release a prisoner, they cried out, Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. And he said, well, what should I do with this one called Christ? And some of the same people that were saved 7 weeks later were the ones that lifted up their voices in that mob and said, crucify him, crucify him. The people that heard Peter's message that day, the Bible says, were pricked in their hearts, and they asked the question, what shall we do? And I hope this morning that the Holy Spirit pricks your heart, that some of you ask the same question, what should we do? And I'm going to give you the same answer that Peter gave that crowd that day. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Peter said, repent. Remember a couple, 3 weeks ago, I preached a message, home or the hog pen. It's the same road. And I think I had the hog pen over here, and I had Harry over here as home representing heaven. And I made the point that it was the same road. The same road that leads to hell leads to heaven. It just depends what direction you're going. And what Jesus said, what Peter said in his sermon, and what Jesus said many times when he was on this earth, he said, look, you're headed in this direction. You're headed toward hell. You need to repent, turn around, and head toward heaven. And that's what Peter was saying. Repent. And a lot of people read this verse and say, oh, you got to be baptized to be saved. No, take the whole Bible. Just don't take one verse to prove a point. Baptism isn't necessary for salvation. You need to get baptized after you get saved, but you don't need to get baptized to go to heaven. How in the world is a thief on the cross that was saved in heaven this morning if you have to get baptized? He's there, and he didn't get baptized. So repent, turn from headed toward hell, and turn and head toward heaven, receive Jesus Christ, and he will wipe every sin off of your record. You listen to me, every sin that we've ever committed, every sin that we will ever commit is under the blood of Jesus Christ and is not on our record in heaven this morning. Not only that, I know what some of you are thinking, yeah, preacher, yeah, but my record sure has a bunch of eraser marks. Or it sure has a bunch of white out. Or it sure has a bunch of marks that show all the sins that were there. No, 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 no. Because the Bible says that once we are saved, Jesus makes us as if we've never sinned. We are justified just as if we've never sinned. And so not only does he wipe every sin off of our record, he makes it so that it appears there never was any sin on that record. But then he does something else. He doesn't stop there. The Bible says that he puts on our record the righteousness of Christ. All the goodness that Christ did now appears on our record in heaven because God puts it there. God puts it there. Not only that, as this verse says, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves in and takes up residence in us. I have a part of the Godhead living in me. And if you know Jesus as your Savior this morning, so do you. There's a part of God that is living in you this morning. And not only that, Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come and get you so that you can be where I am. This morning, if you're a Christian, Jesus is in heaven. He's got a construction project going for you. He is building your mansion. He is building a place for you to live with him in heaven. When Peter preached and those 3,000 souls got saved, God did for every one of them what he did for every one of us. He saves us and wipes the sin off of our record. He makes it as if we've never sinned. He puts the righteousness of Christ on our record. The Holy Spirit, after Jesus went to heaven, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt every one of those people. And this morning, the whole 3,000 and the whole 4,000 that were saved a couple chapters later in the book of Acts are in heaven this morning, have been since they died, will be forever, and one day we'll go to join them. But wait a minute. I can hear somebody say, wait a minute. I was the high priest. I was the one that said it was expedient for Jesus to die. I was the one that called that mockery of a trial. And I was the one that oversaw it. And we found Jesus guilty of being the Son of God. You mean God would do that for me? I want you to notice what Peter said in verse 38. Don't turn to it, but let me just read it to you. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Every one of you. And so I say to the high priest that might ask that question, yes, he will do it for you. He did it for you because it said every one of you. Wait a minute. I was one of the Pharisees that sat on that council. I was one of the ones that agreed that he should die. We bargained. I was the one that actually bargained with Judas to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. Would he do that for me? Yes, every one of you. He did it for. Wait a minute. I was part of the mob that carried the lanterns and the swords out to the Garden of Gethsemane. I was there and part of that mob when he was arrested. We pulled him away in the middle of the night from his disciples and from his friends. Would God do that for me? Would he wipe away every sin? Yes, he would. Every one of you. Wait a minute. I was one of the false witnesses that they called to that council. I gave false witness against Christ. I was part of the reason that they found him guilty. Will God do that for me? Will he wipe away every sin? Will he make me like I've never sinned? Yes, he will. Yes, he did. Every one of you. Wait a minute. I was one of the temple guards. I was one of the ones they turned Jesus over to. We blindfolded him. We mocked him. We hit him. We spit in his face. We pulled out his beard. Would God do that for me? Yes, he did. Yes, he will. Because like Peter says, every one of you. Wait a minute. I was the governor. I was the Roman in charge. I was the one they brought Jesus to and made the accusations in front of. I knew he was innocent. I knew that they did it just for jealousy. In fact, my wife even sent me a note and said, have nothing to do with this just man because I've suffered much in a dream because of him. I knew that he was innocent. And yet, I took a bowl of water and washed my hands, and I delivered him to the soldiers to be crucified, and said, lay the blame on somebody else, because I would God do that for me? I could have stopped him. I could have said, no, he's innocent. I'm not going to turn him over to you. I could have stopped him, but I didn't. Would God save me? Would he wipe away my sins? Yes, he would, because it says every one of you. Wait a minute. I was one in the crowd. And when the governor asked, well, what should we do with Christ? I was one of the mob that added my voices to all those that were around me. And I cried out, crucify him! Crucify him! Would God save me? Would God make me as if I'd never sinned? Yes, he will. Every one of you. Wait a minute. I was in Herod's court when they brought Jesus to Herod. I can remember it well. We dressed him in a purple robe and we made fun of him. We asked for a miracle. Herod, King Herod wanted to see a miracle and we beat him up. And would God save me? Yes, he will. Yes, he did. He said, every one of you. Wait a minute. I was a soldier that took that whip. Cat of nine tails. I had a piece of sharp metal tied on every one of those nine tails of that whip or a rock. I was the one with all my might whipped him and gave him 39 lashes. I watched as the flesh came off his back. I watched as the blood flowed from those wounds that I inflicted. Would God do that for me? Would he save me? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Every one of you. Every one of you. Wait a minute. I was a soldier who put on a pair of heavy gloves, and I took those thorn bushes and the branches from those thorn bushes, and I formed it into that crown of thorns. I was the one that took it, jammed it down on his head. I watched up close as those thorns went into his brow. I watched as the blood seeped from those wounds. Would Jesus save me? Yes, he will. He said, every one of you. Wait a minute, I was a soldier there in Pilate's court, and when they brought him to us, we really beat him up. I mean, after the whipping, he was weak, but we took our fist and hit him in the face and in the stomach, and we took our hands and tore the beard from his face. Would God love me enough to save me? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Every one of you. Wait a minute. I was the soldier that took those spikes, those wooden spikes, and I stretched them out on the cross. Most prisoners fight me, but he didn't. He just laid himself out. I'm the one that took that hammer, and I'm the one that took that spike, and I put it through his hands, and I drove one through his feet. Would God save me? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Every one of you. Wait a minute. I was one in the crowd that stood at the foot of the cross. I made fun of him. Said, you said you'd rebuild the temple in 3 days if we tore it down. Why don't you come down from the cross? If you're really who you say you are, come on down. Prove to us that you're Christ. Would God save me? Yes, he will. He said, every one of you. Wait a minute. I was a soldier. I stood there by the foot of the cross. I saw him die. I'm the one that took my spear and poked it into his side and watched the water and the blood flow from that wound. Will God save me? Yes, he will. Every one of you. And that's what Peter said. Said, yes, 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 every one of you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter. He says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And here's my point. If God could save those people, if he could love them enough to save the one that drove the nails into his hands, if he could love enough to save the one that poked the spear into his side, if he could love enough to save the soldiers and the members of the crowd that cried out, crucify him, crucify him, don't you think he could save you this morning? Huh? Don't you think that he could save you? I don't care how low you've gone, we have a God that can lift you up. I don't care how far you've gone from him, we have a God that can bring you near. You may be a young person that has rebelled against your parents, you've disobeyed dad and mom, God can save you, every one of you. You may be a person that has ignored God your whole life, ignored the Bible, ignored the church, and you've lived your life however you've wanted to live it, God can save you, every one of you. You may be here this morning fighting an addiction. You may be here this morning in deep, deep sin. And by the way, in God's sight, all sin is deep. There is no little sin. All have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. And my message this morning is very simple. It doesn't matter what kind of sinner you are. It doesn't matter how far you've gone into sin. It doesn't matter how low you've gone. It doesn't matter how far away you are from God. God loves you this morning, and he will save you, every one of you. Doesn't matter what your family background is. It doesn't matter what your economic standing is. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've gone. Doesn't matter what color you are. Listen to me. God loves you. We sing the little song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I know most of you are here this morning are Christians. You say, preacher, why would you preach a message like this to Christians? Because Christians need to hear it just like those that are lost need to hear it. We need to be reminded of the price that was paid for our salvation. Jesus went to the cross and he died for my sin. There was no sin in him. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He was perfect. He never one thing he did wrong, never one thought he thought wrong, never one thing did he not do that he should have done. And yet he went to the cross and paid the price for my sins. Your sins, every sin that was committed, every sin that will be committed, Jesus paid the price for that sin. And this morning he offers to every sinner, every one of us, salvation. Salvation. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to come. You need to do what Peter said. Repent. We'll baptize you, but repent. Turn around. Look, you are headed for hell. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. The only hope that you have is to repent and come to Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, I got to hurry, but I want you to notice something else. I wanted you to notice who got saved that day, but I want you to notice one more thing. And I'm quickly going to read a couple verses from later in chapter 2 in Acts. I'm going to pick up where we left off. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, that eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, let me just ask you, think with me just for a second. I'm almost done. Who got baptized and who joined the church? Who went from house to house filling Jerusalem with his doctrine? Who sold their possessions and gave it to the people that had need? Who continued steadfast in that doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread from house to house? Who was glad with singleness of heart? Who praised God? Who turned the world upside down for Jesus? It was these same people. It was these same people. The ones that stood in the crowd that cried out, crucify him. The soldiers that stood around the cross. All those that had a part in crucifying Christ, they were the ones that God used to turn first Jerusalem and then Samaria and then the world to Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you another question. If God could use those people, don't you think he could use us? Huh? If God could use one that stood in the crowd and said about his son, crucify him! Crucify him! Don't you think he could use you and me? If he could use a soldier, and I don't know, I you say, preacher, you're preaching something that's not in the Bible. I know, but some of those people got saved. It could have been the one that handled the whip. He could have been the one that got saved and sold all that he had and gave it to help those in need. He could have been one that went from house to house. The one that whipped Jesus could have been one that went to house from house to house, telling people about him how to be saved. And my point is, if God could use some of those people, don't you think he could use us? Don't you think you might be able to take a Sunday school class and tell a little boy or a little girl about how to be saved? Don't you think you could go to a rest home and visit somebody that doesn't get any company and tell them about your Savior? Don't you think you could go to a jail and tell somebody that's behind bars how to have freedom of soul? Don't you think that you could go to one of your neighbors or one of your friends or somebody you work with and tell them how to know Christ? What I'm saying this morning is God will not only save every single one of us, but he will use every single one of us if we'll let him. If we'll let him. Say, oh, preacher, you don't know me. I come from such a wicked past. God could never use me. Yes, he could. Yes, he could. Doesn't matter. You get saved. If you are saved this morning, I praise God that you are. But are you letting God use you? He wants to use you. Wants and will use you. Will use you. So what should we do? Well, if you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to repent. You need to turn from your path that's wide, that leads to a broad gate with many people thereon, the Bible says, and you need to repent, turn around, and you get on that narrow path that leads to a straight gate that leads to heaven. You just need to admit that you're a sinner, believe that Jesus paid for your sins, and come and ask him to save you. ABC, admit, believe, confess. That's what Brian's telling the kids back in the back room. Same message. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus died to pay for your sins and confess him or call upon him. Ask him to save you. If you've never done that this morning, we're going to give you a chance in just a minute. We'll help you do it just in a second. Now, if you haven't been baptized, you need to get baptized. Don't need to do it for heaven. If you're saved, you're as much headed for heaven as you are before you get baptized. But it's a way of following Christ. It's a way of being obedient to him. And then you just need to get to work. God has something that he wants every single one of us to do. Say, no, you don't know me. I don't have any talent. I can't do anything for God. God saved you. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. There's something that you can do, and God will show it to you if you ask him. You need to get busy. You need to get busy. If you're here today, you need to get saved. If you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit's spoken to you about getting baptized, you need to come. Maybe there's somebody here the Holy Spirit's spoken to about joining the church. You need to come. And if you just need to come and spend some time at the altar praying, we invite you to do that too. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you're a God that includes everybody. Nobody's left out. Nobody. But if we just come, just like we are, you'll take us and save us. Wipe every sin off our record. Put on us the righteousness of Christ. Send the Holy Spirit to live in us. Prepare us a home in heaven. And so I pray, Father, if there's just one here this morning, one person, one teenager, one young adult, one senior adult, and you know our hearts, if there's just one person here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, would you help them this morning? Would you woo them to Christ? Would you help them make that decision? I pray, Father, for the many Christians that are here. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray you'd never let us forget what our salvation cost. It didn't cost us anything, but it cost you and Jesus a lot. And I pray, Father, that we never, ever forget, as Paul talks about, that so great salvation that we have. So remind us of that this morning and speak to us. If there's something that we need to do, help us to do it. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.